Welcome to the Essential Church Podcast. Our goal is to strengthen and equip church and ministry leaders just like you through practical and theological discussions about some of the most pressing and important issues facing the local church today. We feature conversations with members of our team here at New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, as well as interviews with authors and thinkers from around the world. You can follow the essential.church on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Watch episodes on our YouTube channel and also subscribe to our podcast via iTunes and Spotify, where you'll find a full archive of previous conversations. And now, here is this week's episode of the Essential Church Podcast.
Welcome to this episode of the Essential Church Podcast, an ongoing conversation about some of the most important issues facing the local church today. I'm your host, Andrew Arndt, and today I want to take you to part two of the conversation that we started last week with Dr. Greg Okeson, author of this book, A Public Missiology, How Local Churches Witness to a Complex World. Last week, we spent most of our time talking with him about this whole notion of witness and how churches already are interwoven with the complex threads of society. In this conversation, we pivot more in the pastoral direction and talk with him about the challenge to pastors in helping to lead their congregations in this vision of doing congregational ministry. As always, we think you're going to be blessed and strengthened by the conversation. Without further commentary from me, here's to the interview. I think one of the things that we often think about when we think about witness, as we should, is that witness is a going out, you know? So it's the encounter between two individuals, or it's the church undertaking some initiative. But you locate witness somewhere in the life of the church. Can you talk about where you locate that and why that's so important for you?
Yeah, so, and I think I'm a missiologist, so sending is natural to mm-hmm, who we are. Mm-hmm. We have to be a people who are sent, and we are sent by the power of the Holy Spirit. But historically, one of the most radical things that Christians have ever done is to gather. Mm-hmm. But it's a different kind of gathering, and I think the challenge for us is to actually think of local congregations as the hermeneutic of the gospel.
Yep.
And we are that we are gathering in different kinds of ways. We're mm-hmm. gathering. So, you know, people talk about the problems of people bringing their political ideologies, their economic ideologies
right.
to the church. Well, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
And what we need is we need sacraments, we
yes.
need liturgies, we need worship, we need preaching, we need all of this that actually challenges
right.
those
right.
in our gathering.
Yeah. I would actually think that you would say, just based on my reading of you, that you would say, it's not a problem.
Yeah, right.
That they're bringing their politics and their ideology and their economics
we
in here. Because what is actually happening
yes.
is that in this moment, the nations are being gathered to the foot of the Messiah,
right.
and the Messiah is speaking his powerful
yes.
word over them. There's a conversion of the publics
yeah.
that's taking place as the individuals that carry those publics yeah. are hearing the word of the Lord.
Absolutely. And that's where we have to be people of difference, because mm-hmm. we serve, that we worship the King mm-hmm. of the universe, which means that all of those political ideologies, the cultural ideologies, and this is for the right, this is for the left, you know, this is for all of us,
mm-hmm.
have to be challenged at the foot of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, expand on that, because this morning during the session, you had this brilliant moment of talking about bringing all of those things into the story of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and particularly framing them in the cross and the resurrection
right.
as a no and a yes.
Yeah.
And I'd love for our listeners yeah. here to hear that explanation, because it's so palatable.
Yeah, and so one of my heroes would be Leslie Newbegin, and he talks about how the cross needs to be that which is a profound no to all of those cultural, political, economic ideologies, that we need to be a people, if we are a people of Jesus Christ, where he is the Lordship, where all facets of our lives need to come to the foot of the cross
yeah.
and die.
Mm.
That's who we are called to be. So it's not just individuals, but it's actually the larger publics around individuals.
Yeah.
And we've got to allow that to come, where the cross is a profound no
yes.
to the ways that culture just operates. But then he goes on and talks about how the resurrection of Jesus Christ is this glorious yes,
yes
to the fact that God has created this world, that he is holding all things together by his powerful word, that he is reconciling all things to Jesus Christ, and that he is leading us to that point where all things at the name of Jesus Christ, that all knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So the yes is go out into the fullness of my world. Yeah. Go out with the power of the resurrection. Go out saying yes to politics, yes to economics, yes to all of these things. But so often we either love the yeses, you know, and it's what the yes really becomes just this affirmation to our own cultural understanding.
Yeah.
Or we become people that are just about the no's, in which everything is self-denial and everything is loss, and we never get around to actually affirming the goodness of what God is doing in this world.
Dr. Okeson, can you, that was so good. Can you talk to our preachers for a second here? And what I'm thinking of is how you sometimes hear preachers will complain when they do get a little complainy, and they do get complainy.
Yeah, just sometimes. From time to time,
they get a little complainy, and they go, you know, sometimes I'm just really struggling for what's the application, or I need a good illustration in my sermon, and blah, blah, blah. And there's sort of this like lack of, okay, I can do the biblical exegesis just fine, but where does this connect to people's lives, I think is what kind of the question underneath the question. I think if preachers were to take your vision seriously, they would never be lacking for applicational content for their messages. Can you talk to our preachers that are listening to this and talk about how, if they want to do thick congregational witness, public witness, how this would impact their preaching, what their mandate as a preacher is?
Yeah, so let me, I'll say a few controversial things.
Oh, go ahead. That would be good.
The first is that I think if we take seriously public witness, we will actually discover the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that there's a lot of preaching out there that has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Or that it is so thinned out that it really has no ability to actually speak to the public realm in which we live. So I think it's actually public witness is not just a movement into the public realm, but it's a deeper movement into what witness really is and who this Lord is that we actually worship. And are we actually preaching the gospel? Mm-hmm. Are we preaching that Jesus Christ is King today, in the here and now, in the messiness of everyday life? Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. I think also to preachers, I would say, while it's wonderful and important to get into these biblical exegesis, tell the story of the salvation of God.
Yeah.
And tell it over and over again. And if we're not telling the story from Genesis to Revelation, then people, because we inhabit a public realm that is constantly storying us. And we have the greatest story of all. So there are times in which we need to just say, well, like I did last week, I'm going to take this whole service and we're going to walk from Genesis to Revelation. And we're going to say, can we actually tell the story of God? Mm-hmm. And it needs to actually be, because the public realm is storying us over and over again. And the challenge is that we actually have the greatest story of all. It's the story of God, and we're not storying.
It's the bigger story. It's a story. It's like we take every micro story in culture and we go, actually, there's a different once upon a time, and there's a different, and they live happily ever after. And it actually changes the way you think about this story that you think that you're in right now. Yeah. I wonder if you could speak to this question just while we're on the topic of preachers. I mean, last year, for instance, was such a tumultuous and difficult year. And if what you're saying on so many fronts, and I know a lot of preachers just struggled with it. People were weary of hearing about all the issues in the news. And then sometimes they come to church and I just want church to be a shelter from all of that. Don't put all of this in front of my face. I'm thinking of the race issue in particular here, some of the awful things that we saw last year. But it seems to me that you're saying that if we don't address those issues in the pulpit, it's actually, in some ways, it's an act of pastoral malfeasance. It's an abdication of our calling because we can't actually leave those things out there. They're not staying in the culture. If our people are being exposed to them, they're being storied in a way by them, which means that whether we acknowledge it or not, those stories are actually there. Yeah.
sitting in the pews right in front of us. Can you talk to us some about that? I mean, this really, it does get to the preacher's vocation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And I think this is the challenge as somebody who writes on this, is that every congregation is different. And, mm-hmm. and pastors really need to know their congregation, and they need to know how and when to affirm the good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, because of the resurrection, there is good, and that this world is being redeemed. And there are times that we need to just stand up and say, here is the good that is in our community.
Yeah.
And we need to name it.
Yeah.
But if we are not regularly, and I would venture to say almost every week, if we are not calling into question the reigning assumptions, the invisibilities under the public realms, mm-hmm. the narratives, the ways that we are being allowing the gospel to actually be co-opted by political ideologies, then we are actually not fulfilling our role of being preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here I would say we have more resources than we actually take advantage of. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the gospel, we often frame it in kind of judicial language. But there's incredible resources out there of looking at salvation as hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation as healing. Salvation mm-hmm. is reconciliation. Salvation is ecology. So there's all kinds of, and this is the story that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think wise preachers will use a wide variety of resources.
Yeah.
They won't just kind of hit the same thing in the same way every once in a while, but they might hit it, and then they might come around to the backside of it and say, can we actually be a little subversive to unhinge it from behind?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the challenge, is that pastors need to really know the gospel of Jesus Christ and the wealth of the resources that we have, but they also need to know the issues and where are the weaknesses in their congregation, and what are the things that they actually have to name.
Hmm.
And then you said, and have a kind of pastoral discernment to know that there are times to tackle some of these complexities just head on and name the invisibilities in order to, as you said earlier today, sort of suck the power out of them. Yeah. And other times, like you said, to come in from the backside.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or at other times, just to stop and name and celebrate the good. And there's so much of a discerning practice in there. And I'm wondering for you, as you're thinking about pastors and preachers, that process of discerning those things in their ordinary life, for the ordinary life of the pastor outside of that moment when they stand in front of their congregation, what are some things that they can do to cultivate that kind of discernment in everyday comings and goings with their congregation?
Yeah, well, I think so much of the pastor's calling is, I think there's a high, high calling of preaching the word, preaching the gospel. And I think we can never give that up. But I think we've got to actually spend time with people, and we've got to live in the publics around our congregation. We've got to study them. We've got to know what are their weaknesses, what are their strengths. It actually is a call. You know, Karl Barth famously said that, you know, the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in another. Mm-hmm. And I think the challenge is that we've actually got to do strong gospel exegesis and strong cultural exegesis.
Yeah.
That so often when you live in something every day of your lives, you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the challenge for many of us, is that we live in American public life.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of swim in the same waters. We get used to all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the gospel is something that can actually shake us and give us new lenses by which to see. As somebody who lived in Africa for so many years, coming back to America, now I began to see my own culture through different lenses. Mm-hmm. And I think that these kinds of things are healthy for us. And so we need to not be afraid of seeing our culture through different lenses. We need to not be afraid to be able to. I tell people, if you love something, you will critique it, right? That you won't just let it stand there, but you want to call it into a greater amount of goodness, which I think is creational and I think is gospel.
Yeah.
So I think we've got to spend time studying culture. We got to spend time with people in the everydayness of public life, as well as we've got to then ask the question, how does the gospel address these issues?
So good. You talked this morning about making the familiar strange. Yeah. And that feels like an urgent task for pastors that have been in their position for a long enough time to become complacent in their understanding of it. Do you have some practices that you might call pastors into that can help them see their own congregations with new eyes? And that really is an occupational hazard that you would just assume because you're comfortable in it, that you know what's actually there. But I'm wondering if you could talk to us about that for a minute or two.
Yeah, so the first thing I would say, and is that this is a work of the Holy Spirit. So we in the same way that we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to see Scripture and interpret Scripture, we need the Holy Spirit to actually interpret and help us see public life.
Yeah.
So I think we begin there. I think we need a variety of lenses. And so if the pastor is the main one who is interpreting public life, automatically we've got a problem. Right? And we've, you know, especially if the pastor is, you know, in my case, I'm a white man. We need women. Women see and feel and experience things, different persons of color, people of different socioeconomic backgrounds. So we need what we call like this diverse hermeneutic community. A practice that I tell people is just, if a pastor every Saturday, you know, one Saturday morning a month was to just gather people, a diverse group of people, and say, you know what, we're just going to go out into the community and we're going to ask questions. That's all we're going to do, is we're just going to listen to people. And then we're going to come back and tell what we heard. I mean, wouldn't that be?
It'd be so interesting.
I mean, every pastor can do that. And then have a big map of your community up, and then just have every parishioner or as many people who want to just draw a circle around their area of influence. And so you'd start to see there's neighborhoods, there's places of work, there's third places, coffee shops, gardens, parks, you know, that there's all these places where every day of the week our congregants naturally live, and actually seeing that part of our job is to disciple them in and through the gospel of Jesus Christ, where they can be witnesses in and through those places and their professions.
I love that. And the answer to that question, you immediately called pastors into community, into something that was beyond the individual privatized work of trying to discern your cultural context all by yourself. And saw the work of public witness as being, yes, part of the pastor's role in preaching and teaching and discipling, and yet it's really the church's role to witness in all of the neighborhoods and workspaces and third places that we find ourselves in, and calling us into that communal discernment and communal engagement. It's beautiful.
Yeah, so the church that we're planting right now has a number of people in the medical profession. And so the question is, how is medicine a part of God's witness in this world? And the great news is that, I mean, the Greek word sozo actually means salvation and healing, right? I mean, so you don't have
to. If you can't connect those dots.
Right? I mean, it's right there in the gospel. And so it's this notion that you are not just a nurse or a doctor in order to share the gospel in individual conversations. Do that.
Yes.
And we actually need to never give that up. But how is his or her profession of healing something that is actually a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And a means by which the church, and now as a pastor, you're saying, listen, we are public witness, and we are public witness through who you are in the community.
All of our lawyers, all of our school teachers, all of our restaurant workers, all of our hospitality workers, all of our stay-at-home parents.
Agriculture.
All of our farmers and those that are building things with their hands are all doing gospel work. Beyond just the conversations that they're sharing with their coworkers.
Paul, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what you're calling us to.
Right, right.
Yeah. Dr. Okeson, we loved having you today. Thank you very much for being on the Essential Church Podcast. The book, friends, is A Public Missiology. You can grab it on Amazon or wherever fine books are sold. We appreciate you, my friend. Blessings on you.
Thanks so much.